good morning, brother, sister, to those who haven't said good morning already, and to those who I have, it's the second time. Now, do you remember, hopefully, where we left off yesterday in this first verse of this 15th chapter, where the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And I posed the question, are the words "fear not" significant? Why do you think that the Lord was here saying to this man, Abraham, "Fear not"? Was it therefore that there was some fear and trepidation, perhaps, in Abraham's character at this time that the Lord announced these words? Well, what had changed, brethren and sisters? Nothing? Had it? No son yet? No seed yet? No covenant yet. Plenty of promises, but nothing really sealed. Was it? So you can see at the moment, all these things that had gone before were promises. That's different, isn't it? Now, you know about promises, brethren and sisters, don't you? Not always easy to keep, are they? Not even by those of us who profess to be God's sons and his daughters. And sometimes, brethren and sisters, those promises are broken. However, you cannot say that about the Almighty, can you? See, he never breaks a promise, does he? And that's the thing that we need to keep in mind this morning as we're looking at this chapter, although, of course, this promise, numerous, are going to be ratified through something else this morning, to show to Abraham that what God had told him would certainly come to pass. Maybe in the next session, brethren and sisters, we'll still look at whether Abraham actually believed God. Oh, I know about it was accounted to him for righteousness because he had the faith and the belief in his God, and you see that as we go through his life. But God just doesn't leave it at that, you see, fear not. It's all right saying that, brethren and sisters, isn't it? You've got nothing to worry about, have you? You have nothing to fear, my brother. Doesn't really matter. You'll be all right. And sometimes we have no idea, do we? And the reason that is, brothers and sisters, we're not in the same situation, are we? Now, I mentioned something yesterday only because it has been my experience. And sometimes we go there, brothers and sisters, when it has not been in our experience, and we sympathize and empathize with those who are in that situation. So it's difficult, isn't it? We need to be there before we can really sympathize. Now here God was putting something else, you see, in front of Abraham to make him realize that he had nothing to fear. And nothing's changed, brothers and sisters. It's still the same with us. And he's still saying the same thing. I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Just come with me over to the 2nd of Samuel, please. In chapter 22. Verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And you can read on, brothers. It's a lovely song, isn't it? Absolutely tremendous. But here was David, you see, expressing exactly the same things. And why? Because this man had experienced all these things, hadn't he? He'd been delivered from them. And so he was now here praising the Lord his God for his deliverance. I have a little note by the side of verse 2. It says, impregnable. Isn't that lovely? Unmovable. Like the earth itself. If it cannot be moved, what a place in which to trust. Not the earth. God. God. Unmovable, you see. You've heard that old phrase, brethren and sisters, haven't you? And if we're not so near to God as we once were, I wonder who has moved. And you know the answer, don't you, brethren and sisters? Oh, yeah. Exactly the same. It's us. And so, here, God was reassuring Abraham. I've just got one more quotation, if you wouldn't mind, brethren and sisters. And that takes us to the book of Psalms. And it's Psalm 3. I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I put little, I suppose like us all really, bits of notes in margins and online. And there are many times when I never say where I've had them from. Which is a big mistake, brothers and sisters. Because if they're wrong, then you can blame someone else, can't you? And I've got one of those things here, but let me go through the psalm first. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. See how man sees it. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and I love this bit, and the lifter up of my head. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. It's either down or up, brothers and sisters, isn't it? How good you know when you're looking down, not looking where you're going. But here, the Lord lifteth up the head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake. Why? For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. The Lord is a shield and the lifter up of mine head. And this little note here I'm going to give you. Lord, thou knowest how busy I shall be this day. If I forget thee, forgettest thou not me. Now look at it. That's how we are sometimes, brothers and sisters. We're so busy, you see, we forget the shield and the exceeding great reward that is our God. Well, let's go back to this 15th chapter. I think it's interesting, brothers and sisters, that as we go through the life of Abraham, we can almost stand in the same place. See, there's no point in going through these things. It doesn't come back to us. It's a waste of time. It needs to relate to you and I, doesn't it? Every time, brothers and sisters, it needs to relate. And then Abraham here is saying, well, Lord God, verse 2, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? I've already mentioned him. What a man. Who was this man? Now, I have to tell you, during conversation, it's amazing what you pick up, brothers and sisters, and it's even more amazing what you've missed out. Brother Mike Riley said to me yesterday, as he would in his inimitable fashion, you know those 318 servants of Abraham, born in his own house? Where? Where were they born, brothers and sisters? It's another of those throw-out lines, isn't it? Just imagine that, 318. Where did they come from? What nationality were they? Were they born in Ur of the Chaldees? Were they born between Ur of the Chaldees and Haran? Or even later? 318? Maybe that's the minority of the people that Abraham had working for him. I've no idea. So if you have any ideas, brothers and sisters, I think Brother Mike and myself would be pleased to know, unless Brother Mike, of course, has got the answer now. 318? And what about this Eliezer? Damascus. That's all we know, isn't it? You know, Brother Roger, I didn't go to bed when Sister Philippa went to bed last night. And I got that map out that, you know, you can see hanging up on the wall here. And I stuck some stickers over the map so that you this morning would be able to see where Abraham had come from and to. It's quite a way. Oh, it's quite a way of that Euphrates Valley, isn't it? It is. Somewhere along the line, he picked up a man. Maybe, do you think, one of the 318 of Mike Riley's lot? No, I don't know. But we need to go somewhere else, don't we? You see, I don't believe, brothers and sisters, that you can have somebody living with you in your house, or home is a better word, isn't it? And the things that you do don't rub off, do they? Now, this man was in charge. He was the steward of the whole house of Abraham. What a man, brothers and sisters. I'm going to take you over to 24 of the same book, if you wouldn't mind.
So when we're talking about trust, here is the man. And yet he flips across the page, brothers and sisters, in few words. Who would even think about Eliezer of Damascus? How do you remember that, by the way, Damascus? What was he? Gentile. Just have a look. Verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had. He just fills it out, brethren and sisters, doesn't he? Just fills it out. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Had a problem. Is Eliezer? And he would have a problem, brothers and sisters, wouldn't he? Look what he said. For the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. That's a woman for you. Oh, you may smile, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Think about it. Would you? You follow a woman, will you follow a servant into a strange land? Brings it home though, doesn't it? You only need to ask a question or two, and he brings it home. Would you, sisters? Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? You see, he wanted it the other way round. Take Isaac there. There's a little bit more to this man than meets the eye. And this is why I think, you see, that living in Abraham's house had an effect upon the mind and the character and the life of this man, Eliezer. If you go down to verse 12, it says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. I want to stop there. Everywhere we go, brethren and sisters, we pray to the Lord that we may arrive safe and sound. Do we not? You see, you wouldn't dream, would you, of going anywhere without the providence of God going with you, without his blessing upon your journey, knowing that in him is your shield and your great reward. And here, brothers and sisters, is the same as a servant, remember? Send me good speed this day. Verse 13, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know. I love that. Lord, if you do this, just think about this. Lord, if you do this, I will know that she's the one. Now, does it happen? Yeah. Talk about an answer to prayer, brothers and sisters. I wonder what he would have done if it had not been the case. Well, we've no idea. because he was. And God saw to it that what he asked for, brethren and sisters, would surely come to pass. And the woman arrived. And it was the right woman, wasn't it? So here this man is absolutely incredible. Another little note. He seems to be a righteous man and a godly man. How come? Well instructed in God's ways by Abraham. Now, you don't think Brother Mike's 318 servants, do you, wouldn't have the same instruction? Oh, yes, they certainly would. What does the word say? I know him, that he will teach his household after him. Now, wonderful. I know him. That's what it's about, brethren and sisters. All the time. And so this, and you wonder about the gospel being preached unto Abraham. Not only so, I believe he was teaching others, brethren and sisters. Absolutely was the case. He asked God to answer his prayer, and he does. I just want to turn over to verse 45. Because, you see, it's what I call a silent prayer. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. In his heart. You don't have to mouth anything, brethren and sisters. Your lips do not have to move. But within your heart and your mind. And he will understand. And he will hear. Because he is our shield. And our exceeding great reward. The God who can read our thoughts before they are our own. This is our God. And his prayer was answered, brethren and sisters. What a man. Eliezer of Damascus. I suppose there's a lot more that could be said. So I see time is pressing again. Can we go back to Genesis? Chapter 15. See, he wasn't quite finished with Eliezer of Damascus, was he? Verse 3, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now you can see where Abraham was going, Connie. Physically, naturally, there was no way out for Abraham, was there? So he was now going to make up what he thought was the right way to go. And you would. You would. And so he decided in his mind that Eliezer of Damascus was going to be his heir. And he got good reason, brethren and sisters, hadn't he? We just seen, you see. He had good reason for doing that. This was the man, the son, born in his house. He knew him, and therefore he thought that this was going to be the heir to what he owned. But the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So he wasn't Abraham's son then. Of course not. But of course not. So he was told there, brethren and sisters, one of his own. And then there's this interesting verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. Where from? Where from? Where had he been, do you think, brothers and sisters? You could be close. I'm going to suggest something else. I'm going to suggest, perhaps, brothers and sisters, that maybe in a sanctuary where Melchizedek served. Just a thought, that's all. Why not? So if that was the case, he brought him forth out of the house of God to another place, brethren and sisters. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Can I ask that if this is a vision, brethren and sisters, and Abraham is in this vision, and he brings him forth out of the house of God, is it during the day or the night? Immediately you're going to say, Brother Alan, for him to see the stars, it would have to be at night. Would it? Would it? Correct. Not necessarily. There are some things that shine brighter than the stars of heaven. The sons of God, in all their brightness and in all their glory, are not to be compared with the stars that God has created. The morning stars sang together. And here, brothers and sisters, maybe that Abraham is seeing something far greater than what appears on the surface. Maybe the sons of God, in that which is to come, brothers and sisters, the heavenly Jerusalem, created by God to shine as the firmament of heaven. I don't know. It's just a thought. And if that is the case, brothers and sisters, wonder if I could just take you to Psalms. Hundred and 47. This is the bit that I hope, well, I hope you can tie up this. It mightn't in your eyes, but it's a thought. Just go in at verse 2. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, he bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, how about that? He knows your names. Why? Because they're written in heaven, brethren and sisters. That's why, aren't you? Spiritual household of God. The sons and daughters of the living God. Those of us who are going to feature in a new age. A new dawn. A new beginning. A new life, brethren and sisters. Endless life. Shining as the stars in the firmament of heaven. And now back to verse 6 in Genesis 15. You quietly read that verse. I'm going to take you somewhere else, but just read that verse first. It's very short, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's so short that you can now turn to Romans. Chapter 4. Now, obviously, you haven't got time to go into all this chapter, brethren and sisters. It's far too great for the time at our disposal. But just have a look. Verse 1. What shall we say, then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. Why? There is no glory in the flesh, brethren and sisters. Nothing. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And you know, brothers and sisters, how that works out. It's a lovely chapter, which we may have to come back to when we come to the rite of circumcision. Remember that too. Believe the Lord, the apostle picks it up, and then goes into great detail explaining how that works out. Our belief, Abraham's belief. And then he gives him this confidence. I've gone back to Genesis 15. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? After all that. And he didn't know. I have a little rendering here, brothers and sisters, by that verse 8. Whereby shall I know? It goes like this. What is the way? I like that as well. What is the way? And then, of course, this was going to be ratified by this covenant made by God to Abraham. It's an interesting covenant, brothers and sisters, isn't it? It was the sort of covenant that was prevalent during some of the nations of the day. That they did this as a sign of, I was going to say an agreement. It's more than an agreement, isn't it? More than an agreement, then, sister. But it was done. And the two parties between whom this agreement or covenant was made had to be passed through those things that were being sacrificed. Now you will notice here that that is not the case. Just have a look. Verse 10. He took unto them all those, all these, sorry, divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, I think, brethren and sisters, that between verse 12 and verse 17, just have a look at this, and it came to pass that, verse 17, when the sun went down and it was dark, here we have a specific time. Now I know where you go. Well, you're there, aren't you? Aren't you just? You know exactly where this is going, isn't it? Mid-afternoon and sunset. I just mentioned these words. Passover lamb. Where does that take you? Correct. Absolutely. Now, when you begin to wonder and tie up these things, brothers and sisters, you can now begin to see that the words, the gospel was preached unto Abraham, actually comes from, can't you? If all these outworkings of this covenant, and Abraham actually saw all this happening, though he would be long dead, wouldn't he? This horror of great darkness. Nevertheless, brethren and sisters, the sins of the world had been or were going to be forgiven through who? His greater seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to die on Calvary's Hill that you and I might be spared eternal death. And here, in this covenant, brethren and sisters, tells Abraham what the future is going to be. Remember those 430 years? 400 years, he says here. For the mic, didn't he? Here we go, you see. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither. Fourth generation? I can ask you some questions, brothers and sisters. Fourth generation. Who? You got any notes? In your Bible about that? Anything? One? Moses? Yeah. Any more? Do you think? You're absolutely right about that, Brother Frank. Have you got any more? Do you think? Well, you need to go. I'll give you these passages, and then at your leisure, brethren and sisters, and when you have time between the talking, you can have a look at them, shall you? Exodus 6, verse 16 to 20. Numbers 26. Sorry, I'm thinking about your part. Exodus 6, verses 16 to 20. Numbers 26, verses 57 to 59. 57 to 59. And Ezekiel 16, verse 3. That may be a little throw out one, but I'm sure you understand that when you look at it. 16, verse 3.
What was the Exodus one?
6, verse 16, Mark. Yeah. Have I got that right? Please, if I've got these quotations wrong, come tell me. Yes. Oh, well done. Right. And what is this one? 5 minutes, wow. Right. 7 minutes, you're making it better. Shall I tell you about the other three? Right. Have a look at these. Levi, Kohath, and Amra. Alright? And then, like Brother Frank said, Moses. And if you want to know about this being the usual procedure of a covenant, then have a look at Jeremiah and chapter 34, verses 18 to 19. It's interesting, brothers and sisters, that the Lord gives here to Moses, I was going to say a potted history. It's not quite potted, is it? Short history of the children of Israel, isn't it? Of his natural seed and what was going to happen to them. And also that nation to whom they shall serve will I judge. And you know about that, don't you? But also, you see, he tells Aaron he's going to die. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Anything. He's given him all this, the gospel preached unto Aaron, and then he says, Aaron, for you're going to die. What would you think, brothers? But you see, Abraham had got the answer to the question he asked. How shall I know this? Here it is, Abraham. And have you noticed, brethren and sisters, that Abraham did not walk through this offering? Only who? God. Why was that? That's one, but to have this covenant ratified, you see, it had to be binding on both, didn't it? Right. Now, the binding on Abraham's part was going to come, wasn't it? And what was it going to be before the seed could be produced? What happened to Abraham as a sign of this covenant, if you like, but with Abraham being the other half? What was the seal? Lovely. You have it. That's it. So here, this was... Sorry, circumcision. Fine. So here was God... I don't like to use this phrase, brothers and sisters, but you'll know what I mean. This was God doing his part, showing to Abraham his behalf that what he said was now binding. Here it was, shown. And Abraham's part was yet to come. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. I love that. A good old age. The appropriate word there, brethren and sisters, is good. Isn't it? Old's all right. Well, it is from where I'm standing, brethren and sisters. It's good. Isn't it? Good old age. And then he says, and it shall come to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Here is what I would call, brethren and sisters, the Shekinah glory, the evidence of God in their midst. And that, brethren and sisters, was going to continue, wasn't it? Just throughout all those years that his seed wandered in darkness. Never. Never. The light by night and the pillar by day. God's covenant with his people here ratified through the first man, Abraham, the father of the faithful. Just look at this, brethren. I've got another little note here. The sun went down and it was dark. No other outside rays were visible. The glory of God outshines even the sun in its full force. No greater glory in heaven or on earth. The saints, brethren and sisters, in light, we shall shine as the firmament. night in the firmament of heaven. No longer to go out a light that is continuous. Not tremendous. Thought you would get, you see. Do you know, brothers and sisters, we are privileged, aren't we? To us has been revealed snippets, little bits. That's all we need, snippets. The glory, the whole of the glory, will be revealed when the Lord is here. Now, there's just something else, Brother Roger. Just can I just 1 minute, please? Just sit there. Just sit there. Right. I don't know whether you've got a number in your margin by a burning lamp. Hebrew, Brother Terry, Hebrew. A lamp of fire. Isn't that lovely? A lamp of fire. I don't know what the Hebrew word for it is, because I haven't got that written down. But that's the English meaning of the Hebrew word. A lamp of fire. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. And then, brothers and sisters, all these people, you see, possessed the land. They were all there. That's why I said previously, he couldn't possess it, they were already there. It wasn't his. Wasn't to be his either. Not yet. All these died in faith. Now, last question to finish with. In those few verses, Brother Frank read for us, when he says all these, without looking at them, test. All these died in faith. How many? No. All these, just. How many? I'll give you. Oh, there are numbers. You're close. You're getting close, aren't you? Just. Five. Isn't it significant? Five. Only those. Of course, there are some mentioned later, aren't there? But not in that section, you see. Just read that. All these, you think, all these? So is that verse in the middle meaning all those that are to come? Well, of course, but all these so far. And if you look at them, brethren and sisters, they are significant, but you can do that at your leisure. All these died in faith, not having received the promise. And there are some great names there. And so here, brothers and sisters, we're going to finish, because it is 11 o'clock. In fact, it's just after. And then we're going to go on to the women's section. We're going to talk about two women.